Does the beginning of Rosh Hashanah give us license to talk about holiday sales already?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It may only be September, but we're getting our first holiday retail forecasts. These offer a glimpse into what analysts think we'll be spending this holiday season and, perhaps more importantly, reflect how we're feeling about the state of the economy. Marketplace's Noel King is here with a look at the numbers. Good morning, Noel.
Good morning, David.
So what is the betting so far?
Deloitte predicts that we'll see a jump in retail sales of between 4 and 4.5% from November through January. That's a rise of about $986 billion, it says. Now, in comparison, last year during the same period, sales were up only 2.8%. You remember last year, retailers got hit very hard by a few months of bad weather. Deloitte also predicts that more and more of our holiday shopping will be done online this year.
Now, these forecasts often tell us something about the current state of jobs and economic security in America.
Right. And in this case, it's a mixed bag. You know, the national unemployment rate is down to about 6.1%, so that adds some confidence. Disposable income is up slightly, about 2.6% over the past year. But one of the big indicators of how we'll spend during the holidays is back-to-school sales. And back-to-school spending this year was at its lowest point since 2009. And it's worth pointing out these sales forecasts really reflect our mixed feelings about the economy. Another firm, Alex Partners, projected that sales this holiday season will only rise about 3.8%. So some growth over last year, but less robust.
Marketplace's Noel King, thank you.
Thank you, David.
We've been reporting this week on the Obama administration's new crackdown on inversions, where companies avoid U.S. taxes by getting a foreign address. But what about what you might consider an inversion at the state level, moving headquarters across state lines to get a tax break? In those cases, it's often the government that is doing the bidding. Stan Alcorn has the story.
Forbes magazine is headquartered in downtown New York City, behind a limestone facade and Ionic columns. But by the end of this year, it's moving a 20-minute train ride away to a glass tower in Jersey City. Gordon McInnes runs a public policy watchdog group in New Jersey.
You can look not too far away and see Manhattan. You're on the water, and the rent's a lot lower.
And the icing on the cake? Forbes will be getting a $27 million tax break from New Jersey. The state's handed out more in the last 10 months than in the first 10 years of the millennium.
It's the only thing that New Jersey's doing to try and crawl out of the Great Recession. And so if this is the only thing you have, do a lot of it.
The strategy is having an effect, according to incentives consultant Lee Winter. He says he's been fielding calls from companies in New York City asking how much they could get for moving across the Hudson. But what does that do for the regional economy?
You know, no one thinks in terms of the region. They just think of, you know, their state. So, you know, if a company moves from New York to New Jersey, those really are new jobs to New Jersey.
The recession has only made the tax break arms race more fierce. That's according to Greg LeRoy, who's been a leading critic of the zero-sum game.
States and cities are spending more than $70 billion a year for economic development, and that number's been steadily up in recent years.
As a result,
there's less money available to build infrastructure, to retrain workers, to keep classroom sizes small. Those are things that benefit all employers, and instead we're putting lots of eggs in a few corporate baskets.
Until recently, Seth Pinsky was doing a bit of that basket filling as head of economic development for New York City. He says tax breaks are popular in part because they're just easier to explain than long-term investment.
Unless and until the American public itself starts thinking long-term again, it's going to be hard to turn economic development officials back towards thinking long-term as well.
In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
Southern cook Paula Deen is trying to make a comeback, launching a new online network of cooking shows today. Deen was one of the biggest names in food television until offensive remarks she made off-screen became public last year. Her show was then canceled, dropped by sponsors. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson looks at her attempts to rebuild her brand.
Before her racist remarks, Paula Deen was best known for her artery-clogging recipes.
Kim and I are fixing up a burger that's over the top, even for me.
It was a burger patty stacked with a fried egg and bacon sandwiched between two donuts for buns.
I've never done this before, y'all, in my entire life.
Starting today, for $8 or $10 a month, subscribers can get access to Deen's old shows with gems like that, plus some new content.
About 15% of Americans do look up recipes online.
That's Jerry Power with the USC Marshall School of Business. But getting people to subscribe, controversy aside, could be tough since there's already so many free cooking sites. Max Dawson is with the media consulting company Frank and Magid Associates.
Paula Deen's audience, the sort of people who really love her, they're not early adopters. They're not experimenting with new content distribution paradigms.
If they are, they're probably already paying the same amount for a service like Netflix and getting lots more variety. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And General Motors is moving the headquarters of its Cadillac division out of Michigan to a little place called New York City. It's an effort to bring new thinking to its brand. If you're imagining a vast car plant blotting out Central Park or something, note that Cadillac engineering, design, and manufacturing are not coming to New York, but apparently some men and women in suits are on the way. In Cadillac City, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.